I'm Jenny Witte. This is KCUR. In 1914, at the outbreak of World War I, many artists put their art making on hold, leaving their studios for the battlefield. Some in the U.S. waited for years before the country entered the conflict, and others forged a new path in neutral Switzerland. It was an era of radical approaches to music, visual arts, and literature. KCUR's Laura Spencer reports on local arts efforts to mark the centennial of the Great War.
Kansas City Symphony music director Michael Stern calls the years leading up to World War I a perfect storm. There was the shock of the new, a shift from horses to cars, from gas to electric light, from agriculture to industry. Stern says the world changed politically, economically, socially, and artistically.
So by the time we get to 1914 and the world explodes, if people had been listening and watching, especially listening to music, you could have foreseen this kind of incredible shift.
This foment, as Stern puts it, especially before the war, was fascinating for him. And so the symphony's entire season is organized around this theme, with composers like Ravel, Sibelius, Stravinsky, and Debussy. It's not often there's music piped into the galleries at the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art, but it's part of the exhibition World War I and the Rise of Modernism. Modern and Contemporary Art curator Jan Schall.
The World War I Museum is telling the big socio-political story and the personal story of those who served and those who were wounded and those who died and those who were survivors. We're telling the art story.
There were artists who served their countries, friends now on opposing sides. Georges Braque fought for France, Franz Marc died for Germany, and Austrian artist Egon Schiele survived military service, but died of the Spanish flu.
There are those stories, and then there is Monet in the midst of it all.
That's French Impressionist Claude Monet. He painted his meditative water lily series in Giverny between 1915 and 1926, and one painting is on display at the Nelson. According to curator Jan Schall, at the closest point, the battle lines on the Western Front would have been about 60 miles away. With a son and stepson in the war, Monet could have heard sounds of battle, the echoes of the bombs.
This piece is as elemental and hits you in the gut just as it must have the first time it was played.
Music director Michael Stern is back at Helsburgh Hall, leading a morning rehearsal. The Kansas City Symphony is packed on stage. Additional musicians have been called in to perform Stravinsky's The Rite of Spring. It reportedly caused a riot when it premiered in Paris in 1913, the year before the war broke out.
The savagery, which was also a reflection of what the world was about to turn into, is all there, but there's also this kind of lurking, searching, unfulfilled human expectation, which was the unrest of the time.
All of our veterans, would you guys come forth and put poppies down in the front?
It's Christmas Eve morning, chilly and windy. Singers in the Lyric Opera's Veterans Chorus gather at the Liberty Memorial. They're here to mark the 100th anniversary of the Christmas Truce of 1914, when fighting stopped along some areas of the Western Front. Soldiers exchanged gifts and sang carols. Conductor Richard Gibson hits the note, and they start to sing.
And for me now, it's very meaningful when I sing those same carols, to think that these carols were sung there on that day. And of course, the tragedy is that it was all put away and the next day they went back to fighting.
Matt Naylor is executive director and CEO of the National World War I Museum.
We have a responsibility to learn and make meaning from the Great War and to commemorate and remember.
And for Naylor, it's not only a professional mission, but a personal one.
Laura, what I'm opening here is my grandfather's shaving kit from the Great War.
There's a white bone handle on the blade his grandfather used to shave while serving in France during World War I. Naylor says if you look closely, it's made in Germany, issued by the British. Before the war, he says, they were great trading partners.
The world got swept into the first global conflict in a very short period of time. So it tells us something about the fragility of international relationships.
Naylor says forging relationships with other local institutions and finding points of intersection will help connect more people to these stories from 100 years ago. Laura Spencer, KCUR News.